Welcome to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. I'm Rachel, and this podcast is where you'll find the space to clear your head and calm your heart. I'm so glad you're here. Make yourself at home. Well, hey there, and welcome to the Untangling Life podcast. I'm Rachel, and today I have my beautiful new friend, Natasha Smith. Natasha, it's so great to have you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm so excited to be sitting with you today.
Well, of course, today would be the day that my neighbors would choose to have their weed eating done early in the morning. So I'm hoping that we don't have a huge buzz, but I am so grateful. Our hearts were kind of united through our agent, Mary DeMuth. Mm-hmm. And I am just so grateful to be introduced to your huge heart for women, for men, for people who have experienced loss. We're both women who have dealt firsthand with a lot of grief. And I'm not one to beat around the bush here on the podcast. So I just wanted to ask you to introduce yourself a little bit and then tell us, why do you think walking through sorrow is so difficult in this world today?
Yes. So thanks again for having me, Rachel. I am Natasha Smith. I'm a wife, a mom, homeschool mom. We live in North Carolina, first time author, soon to be. And yeah, so I think it, and we serve at our church. We love our local church, serving our church. And we, just looking forward to this conversation. But I think that it's hard to deal firsthand with grief, and it feels so lonely because I believe we believe and have this deep sense that no one, no matter how acquainted with grief, that they can feel and really deeply understand how we feel.
Right.
With the loss that we have experienced. And so I really feel that's kind of what makes it feel like more of a lonely place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every loss is unique.
Yeah.
You talk about that in your beautiful new book that's about to release. And I believe when this podcast airs, the book will be available. So I can't wait to share it with people. The title is, Can You Just Sit With Me? And it's such an intriguing title because grief is one of those things where you can't run away from it.
Yeah.
Yes. Where have you encountered grief, though, that maybe hasn't been quote unquote normal? I think in our minds, we automatically think, oh, someone died. Mm-hmm. And while that is extreme grief and loss when we experience the death of a loved one or friend, there are so many other kinds of grief that sometimes we fail to recognize.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good question and thought. For me personally, I have several of those. One would be the loss of career. I was an engineer and I was in my field for over 12 plus years, and I made the decision to homeschool. And so, you know, when you think about grief, again, as you mentioned, we think about, you know, the loss of a loved one or the death of someone. But in the same sense, it was a death of a dream, really. Like I loved my job. I really, you know, saw myself. As the years went by, I was continuing to climb that corporate ladder, and that's what I wanted to do. But I had felt such a call to homeschool, but I grieved that. Like I grieved leaving, but that was my choice. So someone could look at me and say, you did that. Mm-hmm. You did that to yourself. And so those are the type of losses that we can kind of say are kind of disenfranchised or an invisible grief. Those who that would be deemed by society or others around us is like, you know, that's not really worthy to be grieved. And so another one for myself would be when I placed my child, my baby, into adoptive care. And this is in my teen years. So I was a senior in high school. And so that's something that, you know, just seeing me, or if you didn't know me, you didn't know that I would, I'm actively grieving that like every day. And so again, it's one of those things where someone would say, well, you did that. You made the decision to place your child into adoptive care. So you don't deserve to grieve that. But it's totally untrue. Every loss is worthy of the space and grace to grieve. And so,
yeah. Say that one more time, Natasha, because I feel like people really need to hear that.
Yeah. So every loss is worthy of the space and grace to grieve, no matter what it is.
That's so good. I love that so much, because all of us have burdens and we carry things with us, either that we've done, we've said, or that have happened to us that we're grieving. And if we see people as Jesus sees them, then we know that that's the case. That's but true. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own grief, the enemy causes us to isolate ourselves and makes us think that we are the only ones. And so it becomes a lonely journey.
Yeah.
Really lonely journey. There is this myth, though, that a lot of people throw out there. I've found that it's more people who have never gone through anything hard that say this, but it's like, well, you just need to get over it. You just need to get over it. And it's like, man, you have a substitute, a healthy substitute for that phrase of you just need to get over it. Because when I hear someone say that, I think, wow, you've just not been through it, if that's your thought.
First, you're absolutely right. That is my exact first thoughts as well. I'm like, you must not have experienced something hard. But yeah, so a phrase that I would use in place of that would be, it takes time and space to grieve well, and just to grieve. There's no, you know, just getting over it. There's so many things that we have to work on and be able to work through, you know? And so it's, yeah, so to switch out those words from over to through would be even more helpful.
I love that. And I think we also have to come to the realization that there are some things on this planet we will take to our grave with us.
It's so true.
We're human.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We're human. We are not capable of always driving through to the end of something. Some things, it's the other side of eternity where we will find the resolution and the healing and the blessing. I think we have to be okay with that. I love that. Instead of going, getting over, getting through, that can be a powerful thought, I think, for many people listening today. We all have had patterns of behavior from our family heritage, right? And some of us know it's obvious that some behaviors and some patterns are unhealthy, but specifically in regards to grief, I'm not sure that we always think through the fact that maybe my parents didn't grieve in the most healthy manner. Maybe they didn't know how to, or they just followed the previous examples and role models that they had, their parents, people in their community. And so understanding how to grieve in a healthy manner, I think it's a subject that's really near and dear to my heart. I think when I lost my daughter, you would have thought that I would be prepared, because from the time that she was four, she was diagnosed with this terminal disease. So you would think that when you get to the 21, 22 year mark, you're going, I know we're on borrowed time, and your mind would have adjusted through those years. But there is still an element of shock and reality to losing a loved one. And I had to take about 6 months where I put a lot of things on autopilot.
Yeah.
It didn't engage with those things. So I think processing grief from my family, I don't know that I saw a lot of strong examples of that, because my parents lost their parents when I was really young. So people who were intimately close to them, I didn't see how they did grieve. I didn't really have an example, but I would love for you to share, you know, maybe some listening have had a healthy heritage of, you know, processing grief, and others have had unhealthy role models in coping with sorrow and loss. And so what do you think is the first step to combating those strong behaviors that bind us, that cause us not to grieve healthily? Like, one, I think, is stuffing. When we stuff it down.
Yes.
No, that's not healthy. So what do you think is the first step to moving the needle on those behaviors?
Mm-hmm. One, I'd like to put in a shameless plug for my book. I'm finding good resources on loss and grief. Because, I mean, seriously, before I started writing and doing the research, I'm in this category, right? I don't know how to,
right.
I don't know what to do. I sat with grief for 30 years, and I did all the things, like, number one, what you named, stuffed it, tried to ignore it, push it to the side because I didn't know what to do with it. And it was not modeled for me.
Right.
And so as I began to do some of the research and do what I now know as grief work, you know, kind of processing things and thinking about the loss and how I feel about it and, you know, how it's informed, like, my life, my whole life, my every area is touched in some way. So having a resource or a tool to get you started, to say, because it gives us an awareness, it gives us a language that I didn't even realize just the grief language, like words that I can put to how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Cause I felt a lot of ways misunderstood. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I started just to connect the dots because I had the research, you know, so having a resource that has, you know, some type of research to kind of map out what's going on inside of you. And so, you know, just kind of starting there and then being able to recognize, like, okay, like, for me personally, my parents grieved, like, they gave themselves permission to grieve, like, when the person died. And then there was, like, you know, the space of time where what we call, we had visitation at our home or at a relative's home, where family would come in and kind of talk about the deceased, share stories, and then their funeral. But after their funeral, there was nothing else, like, no stories shared or anything of that sort. And so I kind of modeled that, you know, like, if something happened, you know, I have a few days to grieve, but then what do I do after that? So I didn't really have a model as either. And so just starting with some type of resource that gives you an awareness and the language to it start to begin to express how are you feeling on the inside.
Right. That's so good. For about the first 6 months, I found myself unable to read. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're in an early part and you pick up something to read it. My focus was, I had no focus. I'm on year four after losing my daughter. And then there have been other, I lost my dad actually on Sunday will be 1 year since I lost my dad. And then my husband lost his dad 4 months later. So my father-in-law, so both of us lost our dads within the last year. And I think when you have double whammies, when you have a roller coaster of losses, it is really challenging to separate your feelings, and it's really challenging to focus. You get such a foggy brain. So there are other ways, though. I think once you get your hand on the resource, I would just encourage you to do little bites at a time.
Yes.
Just read a couple pages, read the first chapter, and then set it aside and come back to it when you're ready. Another thing that I think can be helpful is if you have someone is also grieving that you can sort of partner with. Mm-hmm. I think that it sounds strange, but God blessed my husband and I in the fact that our dads died 4 months apart from mm-hmm. each other, because we were grieving together and we could process it together and we can talk through things together. Just last night in small group, my husband was sharing some of his thoughts regarding death and how we perceive mm-hmm. that process and the loss. I love that you say that a strong first step is getting resources and attaching a language. I think that that's very important for our listeners to hear. And then I just want to know what really compelled you mm-hmm. to write this book, because I've interviewed you up to this point as someone who is an authority on the subject, but because of what you've gone through, but we haven't really told our listeners any of your stories. So I'd love for you to share that with them right now.
Yes, I didn't intend to write this book. It's never been on my radar to write a book, but I sat with grief, as I mentioned earlier, for 30 plus years, you know, having that first loss in my 10 years. And just from there, just a succession of losses, the loss of my oldest sister, my next to the oldest sister, my dad, the murder of my nephew, it just kept coming. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, I just didn't feel like I had a safe place to share. Like I felt like this is so much. And I was a Christian at the time and I still felt like it was so much, but I didn't feel safe to even share it with my Christian family or friends mm-hmm. because I felt like it would be an indication like my faith is weak, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I stuffed a lot of it, but 2020 came and it was such a pivotal turning point for me, because what I was seeing in our world globally, like all the pandemic and so much dying and death and darkness, basically 2020 could be summed up as, with all the racial violence, and it was a political year. So there was a lot of division in the church. And I said, oh my gosh, this feels like how I feel on the inside. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I was about to burst. And so I started writing about just grief and sharing little bits of my story online, and it began to resonate with others. And I was finding that I was getting some healing from it myself. And so that's what really compelled me to write it. I was like, so many years I felt alone and misunderstood and even abandoned. And right. I was like, if I can help someone else not to feel this way, then yeah, I'll write it.
That's so beautiful. And I think that in 2020, what happened to many of us is we had to sit with ourselves.
Yeah. Right?
We had to sit with ourselves because there was nothing else we could do.
It's true.
And the reality of who we are as people, I think, was a harsh reality for yeah. some people. So finding a way to healthily walk through that with journaling, with writing, I think that that can be a huge catalyst for people. I'm such a huge proponent of journaling for that reason. In your thoughts, then, who is this book really for, in your opinion, because of your path that you've taken and where you are now, who is this book for?
Yeah, so it's absolutely for someone who is grieving, who feels misunderstood or alone in their grief. Those who don't have the words or the language or even the understanding of like, what is really happening to me? Am I okay? Yes, you're okay. You're normal. It's grief is hard, so you know, because there were times when I thought I was losing it and I found out I was absolutely normal.
Yes, I appreciate that. Oh man, that's such a good word right there. I ask my husband sometimes after my daughter died, am I going crazy? Because my mind was just such a hot mess that I thought I'm on the fringe of schizophrenia here. And I would say that there are a couple of pieces to that with the resource, saturating yourself with God's word,
yes,
with prayer, with the spirit, making sure that you're open to what God has for you. Some people, I think, stiff arm God when grieving. And if I could encourage you to run to him rather than away from him,
absolutely,
that definitely is helpful. Just would love for our listeners to know that they're not crazy. They are normal, and that you're affirming this in them. And then, Natasha, did you embrace counseling at any point in your journey?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you brought that up. Not until I finished my book.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the reality of the depth of everything that you had written gave you that opportunity to see that counseling was a strong next step for you.
Yes, absolutely. I love the way you put that. Yep.
And don't you think that people have to be, you have to be ready. You cannot force that on someone. You have to be willing to have done maybe a little bit of the hard work on your own to get to the place to where you are ready to dive a little deeper into receiving outside help to deal with the grief and the trauma and the loss and the sorrow. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners before we share with them where they can best find you and find this beautiful resource that you guys are going to love? I love the cover because it's blue and gold, and I love blue. My whole house is blue, but then the little gold flecks are like this sparkle of joy mm-hmm. in the midst of grief. And I always tell our listeners, I really believe when we learn to hold the joy and the grief together in the same hands, rather than keeping one here and one here, because society makes us think that we can't be joyful and grieving at the same time.
Yes,
we absolutely can. And actually, I say the word mush. When we mush our grief and sorrow together with the joy, that is when those emotions become the most true, the most pure, and we experience life to the full as God intended it. So where can our listeners best find you, Natasha?
Yes, first of all, I loved everything you just said. So good. But they can find me across social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at I'm Natasha Smith. That's I am. And then Natasha Smith spelled out.
Awesome. So I will provide the links to those, and especially to your beautiful new book, Can You Just Sit With Me? Thank you so much for being with me today and for sharing with our listeners your hard-earned story and your beautiful principles that you are encouraging all of us to embrace in places of sorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, be sure to subscribe. For show notes and free resources, visit rachelwojo.com. See you again soon.
I'm Don Hawkins, and I once heard Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy say, "You can tell if a person needs encouragement, check to see if they're breathing." I'd like to invite you to my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You, featuring encouraging guests like Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, the late Dr. Frank Menrith, Josh McDowell, and more. To subscribe to my weekly Encouragement for You podcast, go to lifeaudio.com. That's lifeaudio.com.